On the show today, we have CU Members Mortgage's very own Joe Pulaski joining us for our final Mortgage Monthly of 2021. Again, brought to you by the fine folks at CU Members Mortgage. And this month's Mortgage Monthly, Joe talks about, he kind of gives us a year-end roundup of all the issues and all the trends that took place in 2021. He wraps it up in a nice little present for the holidays and a nice bow. We talk about everything from rates to appraisals to LIBOR to, gosh, you name it, we talked about it in this episode. So yeah, really great stuff here from Joe. Lots of takeaways. So enjoy. Let's do this. All right, we are live. Not only are we live on CU Broadcast livecast page, but we are live on Twitter, we're live on LinkedIn, and we are here with CU Members Mortgage's very own Joe Pulaski for our, what is it, our year-end roundup?
Yes, sir.
Mortgage Monthly, Joe? Is that what we're doing here today?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this because this year, 2021, we've given you guys each month a really in-depth look at all things mortgage lending, the whole process, the whole nine yards, basically. And today, we're going to wrap it up in a nice Christmas present, a nice bow for you. And Joe is kind enough to be here to kind of wrap it up for us. And he's done a lot of research. And so there's tons of takeaways in today's talk. So I can't wait to get started. But before we do that, Joe, I have to ask you, how are you doing? How are the holidays for you this year? How are things going right now?
Great. And unseasonably warm. It's going to be 65 today. All my friends are out playing golf this afternoon. And, I don't think we're going to see any snow for Christmas where I live in Central Mass.
Well, it sounds like you might need some sunscreen for Christmas this year in your neck of the woods. Oh, my gosh. Well, congrats on the good weather. Hey, let's talk about something else really, really cool. Again, the year-end roundup of mortgage lending, trends, processes, procedures, all that kind of cool stuff. So let's get started, shall we, Joe? Let's dive in.
Cool.
All right, let's do this. All right, hey, Joe, obviously 2021 has been an exciting year. That's an understatement. So especially as we've emerged from the COVID pandemic, inch by inch, it seems like. But what trends have you noticed in the marketplace that have really stood out for you?
Well, thanks, Mike, for having me. And I got to tell you, 2021 has been a real transitional year for mortgage lending. COVID-19 pandemic has forced markets to accelerate process efficiencies in its origination, and it's affected the national workplace and turned employment models on their heads.
Yeah, no doubt. So what sticks out to you as notable from the past year? Because there's so many things we could be here for 2 hours, but what one thing out there that kind of sticks out for you?
Well, we've seen a gradual increase in mortgage rates, mm-hmm. which has accelerated a shift from refinances to the purchase marketplace. Foreclosures and forbearance are dropping, and we're anticipating greater acceptance of desktop appraisals by the GSEs. Staffing and HR have faced hurdles, and finally, LIBOR continues to be on our radar.
Yeah. So, hey, let's start with the first item that you mentioned there. One question I always hear is, where are rates going? I think that's top of mind for anybody these days, especially if you're shopping for a home or anything in the mortgage lending industry. What are rates doing?
Well, I'm not going to try to predict the future, but perhaps we can learn from recent trends.
Okay.
Since September of this year, 30-year rates have seen a moderate rate increase from middle twos into the mid threes. Recently, though, rates have, trended slightly downward. Mm-hmm. The Mortgage Bankers Association stated that rates are going to average a little over 3% and will rise to about 4% by the end of next year.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Also,
okay.
Yeah, it is. And also noteworthy, the Fed announced they're going to taper their purchasing of agency mortgage-backed securities, and this reduction in purchasing is due to an improving economy as U.S. claims out of the COVID pandemic. However, the Fed's going to continue to watch the marketplace as there's still a lot of potential risks out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
According to the MBA's chief economist, this tapering will continue to signal that the Fed's want to increase short-term rates until the economy has reached full employment. And he added that the MBA expects economy will reach this by the middle of next year.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that is definitely news for sure. So how has increasing rates affected mortgage originations?
Well, it's deja vu all over again. Tell me if you heard this before. As my colleagues have mentioned in many of these previous monthly mortgage segments, increased rates have forced the market to really shift hard from refinance money to purchase money. Originations went from 2 million loans in the third quarter of 2019 to just over $3 million for the same period in 2020. And then the third quarter of this year alone, we've seen 3.5 million loans. And according to a recent TransUnion report, new home purchases accounted for more than half the total loans this year, about 20% higher than the same period last year. Mm-hmm. But we're still lower than we were in 2019, yeah, where almost three quarters of all loans were for home purchases.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The same report also tells us that refis have dropped to less than half of total mortgage originations in 2021. And this drop was slowed by the demand, especially for rate and term refinancing, which decreased 23% year over year.
Mm-hmm.
Many people believe that home purchases will continue to outpace refis as demand for homes stays strong and inventory gradually improves, especially if rates continue to moderate upward. So in conclusion, unless there's a significant lowering of interest rates, I believe the days of ultra-low rates and enormous refinance volume are over, and we're now firmly entrenched in a purchase marketplace.
That is a scoop. Those days are over. So
put a fork in it, it's done.
Get locked in now while you can. So, Joe, speaking of home inventory, which has made headlines nationwide as well, do you have a minute to talk about property appreciation? 2021 has been, well, crazy, and that's, again, another understatement, especially in the home appreciation department.
You know, it's funny you should ask that, Mike, because crazy is exactly the word I ran into when I just read an article the other day in Fortune by Lance Lambert.
Mm-hmm.
And Lance stated between August of last year and August of this year, used home prices notched a nearly 20% gain. 20%, the largest uptick on record, and well above the 2008 gain of 14%, which led up to the housing crash. But there's some good news. Our recent increases occurred during the red hot stretch this spring and summer, as most of the country started to normalize from COVID and pent up demand drove up prices. Excuse me, but we're starting to see a return to slower appreciation. In August, from August to September this year, we only saw 1% increase in home values, which annualized would only mean about 12% growth.
Okay.
You know, and finally going into 2022, property appreciation predictions are all over the place, with Zillow being really aggressive at around 14%, while Fannie and Freddie are forecasting 7-8% appreciation over the next 12 months. Overall consensus, a moderating level of appreciation, but still going up.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's a mixed bag for both buyers and sellers, but not quite the craziness that was occurring last spring and this past summer. So
absolutely crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh, I don't know if we'll ever go through something like that ever again. So, and speaking of increased home inventory, so what's happening with forbearance and foreclosure in 2021?
Well, the good news is that in August, according to the most recent CoreLogic loan performance report, the mortgage delinquency rate hit its lowest level since the beginning of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
It appears that as employment numbers improve, the number of delinquencies also goes down. However, some borrowers are still facing severe financial challenges. FHA loans continue to perform worse than Fannie and Freddie loans, and one of the MBA's chief economists noted that while FHA and VA delinquency rates have been falling rapidly, they remain more than 4 percentage points above their pre-pandemic level. Now, in August of this year, 4% of mortgages were delinquent by at least 30 days,
mm-hmm,
including foreclosures. And that's a drop of nearly 7% we saw in August of 2020. And the transition rate, that is mortgages transitioning from current to 30 days past due, also dropped in the same period. Earlier this year, there was a lot of concern, though, in the marketplace that there would be a dramatic upturn in foreclosures as when the foreclosure moratorium ended.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, the number of delinquencies has continued to moderate downward. So as delinquencies decline, so do the number of mortgages in forbearance. Undoubtedly, some of this was due to that uptick in prices I had mentioned earlier, which has allowed homeowners to sell their distressed properties,
yep,
get out from under their mortgage obligations, and cover the outstanding mortgage balances. 12 to 18 months ago, that would not have been the case.
That's right.
You know, so as we enter 2022, there's some optimism that as unemployment rates continue to drop, so will foreclosures and forbearance, all good news for the industry.
Yeah, yeah, and we never quite saw that big foreclosure for that big tidal wave that people were talking about at the beginning of COVID. It just never came to fruition. And like you said, you know, in this case, thankfully, houses, the appreciation went up. So people were able to kind of stave off that kind of dramatic effect from what was going on. So, yeah, definitely. So such interesting times. Gosh, again, I don't know if we'll ever live through something like this ever again. So it's just so strange. And you guys are right there right in the mix, Joe. You guys are right there on the forefront. So kudos to all the work that you guys have done this past year. So this will be great news for the mortgage industry. Earlier, you mentioned that the FHFA was becoming more accepting of desktop appraisals in 2022. Why is this? Why is this going on? And more importantly, what effect will this have on the mortgage market? I mean, is this good news to report here?
Well, I got to tell you, appraisals. It's one of the most frustrating things my credit union partners deal with is appraisals. Mm-hmm. I have seen and heard of regions where appraisals get ordered, take months to get in, and cost an arm and a leg. And why is this happening? In part because no one's entering the appraisal industry. For the past 8 years, the number of active real estate appraisers has continued to decline mm-hmm. year after year after year. Now, in discussing what the FHFA is going to do about this, please let me define a couple of terms. That'll help everybody out. Desktop appraisals. A desktop appraisal is a property valuation that's completed at the appraiser's desk. They use tax records and information listed on the MLS instead of through an in-person survey of the property. Okay. It's similar to a full appraisal, but there's no physical property inspection.
Okay.
Now, an appraisal waiver is different because lenders use data provided by an automated underwriting system to determine the value of a home being sold or refinanced. This will include prices from nearby home sales and any past sales data from homes where a buyer is purchasing. There's no physical inspection on with appraisal waivers as well. Now back to FHFA.
Okay.
In February, in response to the national appraisal issue, the FHFA requested input from the mortgage industry to help create a better appraisal process without damaging appraisal quality. And the FHFA was listening because GSEs will make desktop appraisals permanent. They were previously a temporary solution and increase their usage for home purchases starting in early 2022. Great use of desktop appraisals will improve efficiencies and should improve costs.
Mm-hmm.
FHFA believes desktop appraisals will create quality mortgages because the buyer in an arm's length transaction mm-hmm. will not ignore apparent defects.
Okay, good to know.
In conjunction with the desktop appraisals, the FHFA is going to continue to use waivers, which will also help, but we're years away from them being a perfect solution.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward, the FHFA must continue to search for methods to improve the collateral evaluation process.
Yeah, no doubt. And it sounds like we're kind of in a transitory period with this. So again, here we are again, once again, stepping into this territory of the unknown. So, but I'm pretty confident that we'll figure out a permanent process. But yeah, this is really good information to know, Joe. And speaking of, let's talk about staffing here for a second. And we've all been reading how COVID has negatively affected businesses hiring across the country in pretty much any industry. My gosh, so the credit union hasn't been exempt either. So what's your take on this distressed employment pool going on right now?
Well, the distressed employment pool has definitely affected credit unions and hiring.
Mm-hmm.
In speaking with many credit unions in the Northeast, hiring has been a real challenge, especially for loan officers, mortgage processors, and underwriters. Senior credit union staff told me that the small pool of skilled mortgage professionals in our marketplace have driven up wages markedly, almost to the point where hiring them would make managing budgets very difficult, if not impossible. Now, one area it appears that credit unions are less affected than the nation on average is job quits. And I came across this term while researching for this conversation today.
Job quits, you say. It's job quits,
job
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
A job quit is where the employee unilaterally leaves their employer. The highest quit rate occurs with employees between 30 and 45 years old.
Okay.
I recently looked at the November 2021 Bureau of Labor Statistics report entitled Quit Levels and Rates by Industry and Region.
Okay.
Really great bedtime reading, I got to tell you.
I could imagine.
Yeah, and honestly, I was shocked to see that within the financial industry as a whole, between September last year and September this year, there was a 20% increase in job quits to about 136,000 a month.
Oh, my God.
I was surprised because while I knew businesses in the USA were facing significant challenges hiring new employees, mm-hmm. I did not realize that many of these same companies were seeing an exodus of current staff. Anecdotally, in talking to credit unions throughout the Northeast, it doesn't appear this has been happening to them with a departure of mid-level staff. Mm-hmm. So it seems that the credit union industry may be bucking this particular trend. And I have to also mention that one area where credit unions are really leading is work from home. Many credit unions have seen their employees return to branches and resume work as usual.
Mm-hmm.
The number of employees working from home has diminished significantly, which is great since, as we all know, everyone at a credit union wears so many hats. One misstaff member can create a significant strain on the entire credit union.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Yeah, well said. And I also have to ask, what's happening with LIBOR? You mentioned that earlier in the broadcast. So what's going on there?
Well, everybody stopped taking new mortgage loans indexed to LIBOR. And additionally, we've recently received updated guidance from the CFPB regarding the conversion of existing LIBOR loans to a new index. And there's a lot to unpack in the short version. Most existing LIBOR arms will convert to a very similar index with little or no effect, better for worse, on the borrower.
Right.
So it's really, we just found this out the other day, so everybody's been kind of waiting for this to happen. So we're happy it's done.
Okay, fresh news for sure. So overall, Joe, what's your feeling about 2022 as we head into the new year here? Because a lot's going to happen, I have a feeling, for next year.
Yep. So in order to prepare for this, I got my crystal ball here.
Oh, very nice.
We're going to do a search into the crystal ball to find out what's going to happen in 2022. And this is probably as accurate as anything you're going to read.
I can imagine.
So with rates, I think rates are going to continue to rise upward gradually. As the economy improves, rates are going to increase. Okay. With mortgages, we continue deeper into a purchase marketplace. Refinances are still out there, but volume is down significantly versus the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, though, escalating home values will significantly outstrip a buyer's ability to purchase a home. And the amount of available home inventory will have a lot to do with that. I think it's going to be more or less self-leveling.
Okay? Yeah, that's good to hear.
With foreclosure and forbearance, I expect these numbers are going to improve. Predicated on the continuing growth in home purchase demand, as increased sales allow distressed homeowners to unburden themselves of unwanted property. So that's a real positive thing. Appraisals, look for new thinking on how to address the appraisal issue. I think desktop appraisals will become more widespread, but much more work still needs to be done. The appraisal industry isn't in crisis yet, but it could be in 7 to 10 years when appraisals and other obligatory requirements will continue to drive costs to originate, underwrite, and close a mortgage. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs to watch their pennies.
Yeah, and this is such an integral part of the process. And gosh, and to have this part of the home buying process be in jeopardy almost, you know, it's really going to create some waves in the industry. So it's very interesting to see what's going to happen here.
Yeah, like I said, 7 to 10 years, the average age of an appraiser is, I think, 58 or 59 years old,
mm-hmm.
7 years old, somewhere in there. And every year it gets 1 year older, and when they reach 62, 63, I'm concerned about, you know, en masse retirings, and we don't have people to replace them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm sure we'll find a solution before then.
Hope so. Okay, knock on wood. Hope so.
Well, I look to return to normalcy as our nation continues to rebuild after the COVID nightmare, but COVID's really changed the fabric of our country forever, right? We're in agreement about that.
Yeah.
We're moving forward, but we're still looking over our shoulders, concerned we're going to see a repeat of 2020. Everyone wants it to be 2019 again. I don't know if that's ever going to happen for us, not in my lifetime.
Nope.
Now, hiring and employment, this could get really interesting. As refinances dry up and mortgage lenders across the country attempt to shift to a purchase marketplace, I expect that national lenders are going to right-size their staff. Restructuring at large mortgage lenders will add new personnel to the employment pool, which will alleviate the hiring issues many credit unions have been experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So in conclusion, a lot of moving parts. A marketplace that is particularly sensitive to a changing economy. Everything can change quickly, but there's going to be a lot of opportunities for credit unions that are light on their feet.
Yeah, no doubt. Opportunities definitely will be abound next year. So really looking forward to what, obviously, what next year has in store for us. And again, Joe, you guys at CU Members Mortgage will be right there on the cusp of everything that's going to be happening. So we really appreciate not only the input this year, but we're going to really appreciate it even greater next year because, again, I think it's going to be another pivotal year. Especially in the mortgage lending industry and how it all affects credit unions. So we appreciate this information and all the hard work you did researching this stuff. This is some great takeaways in there, Joe. So well done on this.
I appreciate it. It was an awful lot of fun looking this stuff up, and I really appreciate the time, Mike, and I appreciate everybody that's listening here today. And keep up the good work.
Yep. Indeed. So, yeah, again, like you said, lots of opportunities for credit unions in 2022 should be equally as exciting as it was this year. So, but until then, everybody, we wish everyone happy holidays, safe and happy New Year's. Be well and take a little time off to recharge those batteries because, again, based on our conversation here with Joe, looks like 2022 is going to be another wild and wacky year, especially in the mortgage lending industry. So, but we have some great people out there working for us and helping us out and helping credit unions keep this process as smooth as possible. And again, Joe, thank you so much for your time today. This is great, great stuff here. Fantastic takeaways once again. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mike.
You are welcome. All right, gentlemen. All right, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you guys literally next year. So we'll see you all in 2022. Thank you again for watching this year, and we'll have plenty more content, expert content from the fine folks at CU Members Mortgage in our Mortgage Monthlies next year. So until then, again, have a safe and happy holiday season, and a safe and happy New Year. All right. Thanks again. Appreciate it. See you next year.
Thank you.